Okay, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 29. And then Mark chapter 7. Isaiah 29. Then Mark chapter 7. Okay, Isaiah 29, I'm just going to start with verse 13. Isaiah 29, 13. Wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of the wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Okay, in the New Testament, Mark chapter 7, Jesus Christ makes mention of this verse, when he's talking to the religious upstarts of his day, the religious Jewish fundamentalists. Mark chapter 7, you can see in verse 1, that's who he's talking to, the Pharisees and certain of the scribes. And then verse 6, he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. You can see in the New Testament, Isaiah is spelled with an E, that's proper translating. Okay, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand this idea, this truth, this prophecy of Isaiah. And I pray you'd help us realize that that prophecy is still true today. And I pray you'd help us to honor thee, not only with our lips, but more so with our heart and life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in Isaiah 29, Isaiah prophesied around 700 B.C., so that's about 2,700 years ago. And he was aiming his prophecies toward the nation of Israel, the northern portion, the 10 northern tribes. And he said, the problem with these people today is that they honor me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. Okay, Jesus Christ took that prophecy and brought it into his time period in Mark 7. And he said, we got the same problem today. The same problem is that people honor God with their lips, but their heart is far from him. And you realize we got the same problem today? Same problem. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Last week I preached a message about rebuking not an elder, and basically the idea was to honor your elders. And remember that the Bible is an Oriental book, and as an Oriental book, the Oriental culture, most of them have this ingrained in them. An extreme of this Oriental culture is that they get into ancestral worship. Now, that's obviously wrong, but it's an extreme of the idea of honoring one's elders. Now, God has established a chain of command for everybody in life, and for a person to accept that is to honor God. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it mentions that the younger is to submit to the elder. Now, the idea of submission is always directed at the one under authority, and they are told to submit to the elder. The younger may humbly appeal to an elder if the elder is wrong, but they can humbly appeal, but yet God is the one that can move or not move the heart. Honorable youth will honor the elder's wisdom and counsel. After last Sunday's message, Brother Paul told me about an experience he had at work, and if I remember exactly right, there's six or seven older men, his age, okay? it's above 52, remember? Okay, and so they were just chatting, and there's one young fella listening, 20, 21, something like that. And he was part of the conversation, but did not dominate the conversation, but yet he partook of the conversation, and after it was done, he expressed his joy of listening to these men talk. Okay, so he honored the elders in that situation, but the elders, if they had come out and said it, they would have admired him for honoring them. And that's a true thing in life. Okay, and so the idea is to honor, okay, to honor. One a definition is to esteem with highest degree or with dignity, to pay public respect to. Now, most Americans, still yet today, will honor God with their lips. Okay, if you go to a baseball game, I think about the seventh inning, they not only sing, "Take me out to the ball game," but they sing, "God bless America." I don't know if they're still doing it, but they did that for a couple years. And how many of those guys, "God America," you know, how many of those guys really understood it? I mean, just drunk as could be. Okay, their heart's far from him. You see, and that's where most churches are. Now, King Saul in the Old Testament, he was not right with God, and there's a case where God told Saul, "I'm taking the kingdom from you, and I'm giving it to a man who's a man after mine own heart, because your heart is far from me." He asked Samuel one time, "Honor me, and I will worship the Father." "No, pal, we're not going to honor you because you're wrong." He was trying to get honor without getting the due respect him, without honoring somebody else. If you would, look at Leviticus chapter 19. Now, sometimes you may have, maybe you cross somebody who's a Sabbath worshiper or stuff like that, or think they're honoring the Sabbath. Are you taking my heckler out? Papa is becoming my heckler. I'm his hero on Saturday nights, on Sundays. He's talking too much. Oh. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32, okay, it says, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of old men." Okay, honor the face of the old man, and "fear thy God, I am the Lord." Notice that's part of the law. Okay, now this is, I don't know if they still do it in school, but I remember they used to in a Christian school. When an adult walks into the room, the young kids stand. Do you still do that? How many schools do that? That's the principle right there. Okay, in American court, the principle was that people stood when a judge walked in. Okay, the purpose of that is because they used to carry Bibles in. Okay, now they just do it because the judge likes to be honored. It's for self-exaltation now. But it's supposed to be because people honor the Word of God. That standing to honor the elderly was an act of the Old Testament law. So if these people think they're obeying the law, show them that verse. See how they do in that one. Especially if you're older than them. You know, get out your license, show them, "Hey, look, I'm older than you, now stand up, pal." Okay, but that's part of the law. So I want to give you some thoughts about honor this morning. The first thought is, if you would look in Proverbs 15, verse 33, the first thought is that one honors God. How can you honor God? Not only with your lips, but how can you honor God by your life? You honor God by your life by humbly accepting God's personal chain of command for your life. Your parents, your grandparents, okay, any authority that's over you. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. When you accept that, okay, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." Before honor is humility. You must humble yourself. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. A person honors God with your life by humbly submitting or accepting to the personal chain of command that God has for your life. Whatever it is, you got a chain of command that God follows. You know the chain of command goes God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ is the head of the man, the man is the head of the woman, and the parents are the head of the children. Okay, and they're one in that form. Now, everybody has a chain of command. I don't care who it is. Even Obama's got a chain of command. I don't care. You know, as much as he thinks he's, you know, the grand king of the world. No, everybody's got a chain of command. There's an example of a Bible who was the king of the world. Daniel chapter 4, a guy named Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar became the first King of Kings. Daniel chapter 4, he's fulfilling a prophecy. It was the first world king of a known world at that time. God established this thing. The first one was Babylon, then it went to Media Persia, then it went to Greece, then it went to Rome. Now, if you think about that and do a little research, when that prophecy was given, worldwide kingdoms, these are going to be worldwide kingdoms. First one was Babylon. Then it went to Media Persia. Persia is Iran. Babylon is Iraq. Okay, so you got Media Persia, then Greece. That is Turkey. That's today known to be Turkey area and even over to Greece. Okay, and then Rome. At that time that prophecy was given, Rome was smaller than Lowell in population. It was smaller than Lake Dale in population. 700 years, you think people say someday Lowell is going to be the world kingdom. Okay, and that's how, but yet Rome became the world dominating force and is still underhanded the dominating force today. That's the power of God. When he said something, it comes true. Well, Nebuchadnezzar, in Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar was the king of kings, or a king of kings, the first one. Daniel chapter 4, he has a screw loose pop. He has a screw pop loose from his brain, and he becomes a nutcase. Okay, they had to call the funny farms to try to get him in. The funny farms rejected this guy. He was an absolute nutcase. Okay, his hair grew out real long, like Cousin It on the Addams Family, if you remember that. He had claws on his fingernails, grew real long. Okay, and he became a babbling fool. Yet he still remained king. Nothing has changed much with that. Okay, but he was a king, and he remained king for 7 years as a nutcase. After he got his understanding back, in Daniel chapter 4, verse 34, he gives his testimony. You would think that this guy would be mad at God for what he did. Okay? And the reason why this happened to him, because of his pride. Is not the kingdom this the kingdom that I have built? No, pal, it is not. God placed you there, and when he can take you down, he'll take you down as he will take anybody down. And God the God of the Bible is a God of the spectacular. You know, men often, when they watch shows, they like, you know, the special effects. They like the spectacular. And God is no different in that he's going to build up the Antichrist and build him up and build him up, and then he's going to take one right uppercut and knock him down that fast. It's going to be quick. In Daniel chapter 4, here is Nebuchadnezzar's testimony. If you read the preceding verses, you can see what happened to the guy. He's a real nutball. I mean, verse 34, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, And for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counsels and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. This is from a guy who learned from it the hard way. He learned by experience. It's a hard teacher. Okay, so the first thought is one honors God by humbly accepting God's personal chain of command for your own life. The second thing is you honor God by giving the first fruits of your substance or increase to God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Now, you know me, I don't say much about giving. I rarely say anything about it. But once in a while, you cross it in the Bible, and so I'll cross it when we come across it. No, I'm not begging for money for the church, nothing like that. No, I'm not encouraging you to give to people in Haiti. I wouldn't give a dime to United Way or anything like that. I definitely wouldn't send it to the government to try to help them out. The best thing, if you're going to try to help somebody out down in Haiti, the best thing you could do is find a missionary on hand who's there and send it through him. That's the best route. If you want to get the best bang for your buck, you know, where it goes right to the source. Okay, and it's interesting to me, here you have the poorest country on the face of the earth on the same island of the second largest economy on the face of Central America. How can that be? Study religion and you'll figure it out. Okay, and that's the reason. Why can't they get things going over on the Haiti side? They're too busy taking a voodoo doll trying to stab somebody. Okay, and that no, that's not the why they got the earthquake. It rains upon the just and the unjust. That's got nothing to do with it. Okay, but the poverty level is because of their religious faith. But even at that, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 10, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And then, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Okay, you say, is that automatic? Well, under the Old Testament, that's an automatic. New Testament may or not be. In the New Testament, the promise is that if you're a liberal giver, and of course, a Bible liberal giver is giving of your own money. You know, a liberal in politics is stealing from somebody else in order to buy votes from somebody. Okay, but still, a person honors God by giving the first fruits of his increase. Okay, a tithe or 10% is a form of rent. It's a form of rent that God expects you and I to pay for breathing his air, living on his earth, enjoying his creation, giving you life. That's the way you honor God. Okay, an offering above that is an offering of love. Okay, and today you can't, you know, in the Old Testament, God killed people over keeping a tithe, 10% of their income. Okay, meaning 10% of your increase. Okay, but, you know, in the New Testament, that's a whole different ballgame. Okay, but a guy honors God. You honor God by giving of him, figuring it out with him, your first fruits have increased. In other words, you honor God by your finances. You honor him that way. Okay, the third thought, one honors God by honoring others. If you would, look in Romans chapter 12. Now, we wouldn't think so, but you honor God by honoring other people, especially God's people. Now, in Romans chapter 12 down to 16 is some real practical things for the Christian life. This is down-home stuff. You know, men, when we get together, we solve all the world problems. You know, we can fix the economy and everything like that. We can solve all that stuff. And ladies get together, they're worried, you know, they can solve changing diapers, you know, and how to handle a little kid and all that stuff. And that's, you know, often what they talk about. Now, theirs is more practical than ours. Like, what are we going to do? Okay? So theirs is more practical, but that's where Romans 12 gets more practical. It deals with your everyday life in the house. It deals with your life with dealing with people, rubbing shoulders with people. It deals with your relationship with others. It deals with how to be a blessing to others. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, interesting verse, verse 10, he says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, notice, in honor preferring one another. That's a good practical thing. Now you honor God by honoring others. Now, it's understood that the young should honor the elder from all the other passages. But there are times where the elder can honor the young. Okay, and so you figure that out with relationships. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, shows that a husband can honor his wife. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. He took six verses in 1 Peter chapter 3. The first six directed it to the wife about having honor and respect towards him. But then he takes one and shows how he can honor her. Now, I realize the average American, especially the feminists, the liberals, and all that stuff, they think that anybody who believes the Bible is a male chauvinist pig. But I would, a pig is not a bad thing to be called anyway. A pig's the smartest domestic animal anyway. But even at that, but they say you're a male chauvinist. The Bible, in the Bible, it's King James, that's male. All the angels are men. God's referred to as he. Jesus Christ is a man. The Spirit of God is referred to as he. All the pastors are men. All the deacons are men. And people say the Bible is male chauvinistic. Well, if you don't like that, try being a Muslim. You know, if you really like that, you know, female Muslims in America is a laugher. I mean, people tend to think that if you believe the Bible, then you're going to want your wife barefoot and pregnant under a rug. Well, in the Muslim faith, they want that, but then they also beat the rug every once in a while. You know, but that's how it goes there. No, if a man loves God, loves the Bible, loves this old King James Bible, he will honor his wife. Ladies, you don't want equal rights. I mean, try China for equal rights. They're all poor. Try the Soviet Union. I mean, men have been competing with women for years because a lady can give birth to life. Nothing's better than that. You see, you don't realize the blessing that a lady has. But here's what he can do to honor her. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, your husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. The wives, dwell with them according to knowledge. Giving honor unto the wife. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Notice that a man's prayers are hindered because he doesn't treat her right. His prayers are hindered. He can pray all he wants. Okay, in other words, he needs to consider her needs, her desires. He figures out ways to be a blessing to her. He studies the mindset of the female, which is a lot different than the mindset of a male. So he studies that out. He plans and arranges for her so she can have time alone at least every 5 years, where she can go out and do something by herself. Okay? A lot of times, you know, some men want to keep her in a box. Okay, and of course, nowadays, the way the economy is and the way people are, a lot of times you got both of them working anyway. But if you have the great blessing where she can stay home and raise the children instead of somebody else raising the kids, okay, but they still need to have time alone and need to honor them and need to try to keep the house clean. I mean, she spends some, you know, my dad constantly told me growing up, take your shoes off, wipe your feet. Why? Because like a dummy, I'd just walk in with dirty feet. And I wouldn't think about that. Okay, but you honor God by honoring others. Okay, another thing. Parents, you can honor other parents in regards to their children. Meaning, you do not knowingly and purposely allow other parents' children to come into your household and do something that you know they wouldn't approve of. Now, some churches will have some adults who will get the young to come to their house and get away with stuff that they know they can't do at their own house. People like that are low-life scumbags. They are Judas Iscariots. They are undercutting the most prized possession of somebody's life. They are worse than a thief. Okay? And they are being used by Satan himself, is what they're doing. And so a parent, if you have other children come to your house, then you need to at least know the wishes of those children's parents and never undercut that. Always try to do what you can to be a blessing to those children, to uplift their parents. Another example, grandparents, and I'd be one of those. A grandparent honors the wishes of the parents of their grandchildren. Now, we can spoil them to a degree, okay, especially when they're at our house, we can spoil them, okay, but yet we do not step over our bounds because we had our chance to raise our kids. You know, one of the things to fight between grandparents and parents is because the grandparents need to realize you had your task, okay, you're done. Now, you let them raise their children. Now, if they ask for advice, yeah, you graciously give it, but not until last. You know, this often is struggles between them. The sad thing is when the grandparents, you know, get all bent out of shape with the parents, their own kids, and then they have friction going on. Okay, another thing is a guest. If you're going to somebody's house, a guest honors the wishes of the host. Okay, you recognize maybe they like to do some things that you don't do in your house, but you honor that. You humble yourself. You are a guest on their property. I believe this to a point, and when I knock on doors, I am a guest on someone's property. If they tell me to get lost, get off their land, I will get off their land. You say, what about their soul? I will get off their land. I'm a better testimony to them by honoring their private property to them than to try to push or, you know, sneakily get my faith across to them. I realize my faith in Jesus Christ is very important, but the way you witness to them is by to honor their property. It's never right to do wrong in order to do right. You see, and if you're going to host to have someone come to your house, then you try to figure out ways to be a blessing to this person. You see, that's in honor, preferring one another. Okay, and so, you know, a lot of you know that we're, you know, at least for a month, going to have Papa at our house. Jan's daddy's got Alzheimer's, so we're trying to honor him. Okay, and he don't recognize a lot of things. You know, I've learned several things that he's built my desk, he's built my cabinets, he's built my house, he's laid the floor, and I'm kind of wondering if he's going to take my wife, because that's his wife now. But, you know, the mind is an interesting thing, you know, and how a person just, it's like having an adult three-year-old, okay, and fortunately he laughs about everything. You probably heard him laughing at me, and after a while he's going to tell me to shut up, you know, and hey, that's the way it goes, okay? But yet, that's honoring him. Why? He and his wife took care of my wife when she was little. And so we can honor. Obviously, sometimes when it gets beyond a person's ability, then you can figure out something else. But you see, that's a way to honor. You see, you honor God by honoring others. Okay, the last thing. Look, if you would, in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 18. The amazing thing about this Creator of ours is that this Savior, Jesus Christ, and the God of the Bible is a God that turns around and honors His creation for obeying Him. When do you hear Allah doing that? Allah wants you to sacrifice your own kids for Him. The God of the Bible sacrificed Himself for all of mankind. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 18, it says this, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Now, God honors people who accept the reproofs of life. God honors people who are faithful to hearing the preaching of the Word of God from a Bible believer. Why? Because it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I realize that when a person tries to preach this book straight up, I realize that it is going to rub the cat the wrong way. I understand that. And I realize that I don't know how many times we've had people walk in these doors and I get the same insulator where the light is so bright to them, they've come out from a dark world and from dark churches and everything, you know, from apostate church, and the light is so bright, their eyes are kind of squinting, and they say, I've never seen anything like this before. What a blessing it is. And they walk out the door, and it's such a blessing they never come back. You know, they must really love us because, you know, the heart, you know, grows fonder when you're separated from someone. So they're madly in love with us, you know, all that stuff. But the reason why is their spirit recognizes that in order to attain sound doctrine, you got to put up with some stuff. It takes a lot of time. And to them, the time isn't worth it. And it says in 2 Timothy 4, there come a time where people, they will not endure sound doctrine. In order to learn this book, you're going to have to put up with a lot of things, and the Bible is an offensive book. And you will get labored a nutcase by people. You will get labored a cultist. You'll be labored a deceiver. You'll be labeled, you just found a man. And that goes with the territory. And this is why God will turn around and honor someone. I can't imagine going to one of these lovey-dovey churches where all the guy gets to limit himself to love, joy, harmony, peace, and unity. What a sickening thing. But those churches are packed out, aren't they? You go to these window washer types, you know, and they're washing windows all the way through. You know, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. Not when they get in front of God, they won't be okay. I mean, that's nothing but a circus. It's all a facade. Jesus Christ says it's vain. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You see? And that's what's going on in our country. So God will honor people for accepting reproofs of life. In Proverbs chapter 4, if you back up a few chapters, God also honors people who honors his words. Anybody who writes a book or writes a poem or anything and people honors your writing, you will automatically appreciate that person. If anybody honors your work or something you've accomplished and they've appreciated it and expressed gratitude, you will appreciate that. Okay, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding, exalt her. And she shall promote thee, she shall bring thee to honor. When thou dost embrace her, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. That, along with 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, is the reason why I brag about that book so much. That book right there, that old King James Bible, is the final authority of this church. Long as I'm the pastor here, that is the final authority. I am not the pastor. I am not the final authority. Okay, now the average Protestant pope or the Catholic pope, the Catholic Church says that the only way you can really learn the Bible is through the priest. The Protestants say the only way you can learn the Bible is through Greek and Hebrew, and I'm the one. And the Muslims say the only way you're going to learn the Quran is through the imam. Okay, all deceived people, blind lead to blind, both fall in a ditch. And they're insulting their people, and the people don't realize they're being insulted. You meaning I don't have the brains to understand the Word of God? I have to get it from you who has the brains? Are you saying I am an idiot? And I realize it doesn't take brains to understand the Word of God. And it takes a humble mind and a believing heart and a willing spirit. But still, that is an insult to the people, and they don't even recognize it as an insult. If you got the Spirit of God in your body as a result of trusting Jesus Christ, and you've got an old King James Bible, you don't need me to understand this book. This book is the final authority. And this book has all the answers to all the questions posed by man. And so if you got something, you go to the book and you figure it out. So you honor God by honoring his words. The last one is in John chapter 5. It's when you honor Jesus Christ. If you get in a discussion with anybody about the Bible or Jesus Christ, every single time it will go down to a religious argument. And if a person says, well, I'm not religious, and I've had people say that to me, and I will usually look at them and say, well, good, we agree on something. Neither am I. Now let's get off religion. Let's talk about Jesus Christ. And then they'll push it right back to religion. You said you're not religious. I'm not religious. Let's get off that. Let's talk about Jesus Christ. They don't want to talk about Jesus Christ. John chapter 5, verse 23, Jesus Christ said that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, if you just read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and read the story about Jesus Christ and compare him honestly to all religious founders, you're not going to find anybody to come close. Even if you discount the deity idea, about Jesus Christ being God, forget that. Just look at his life as a man and the sacrifice he did for people. There's nobody that comes close. You're not going to find one man in history who died willingly for his enemies. Now, you might find some stories, okay, where a man died, gave his life for his country, for his friends. You know, you can find some about a William Wallace. He died, you know, basically trying to, you know, bring justice and things like that. Died for, quote, a good cause. Okay, you'll find men, a few men like that. How about a man who willingly gave his life for his enemies? You're not going to find anybody like that. And the soldiers did not have to fight with him, did not have to wrestle him to put him on a cross where he walked up there. The only resistance they had was him trying to get his body to do what it should after being beat to a bloody pulp. And for him to lay down his hands down on that cross, for him to lay down, that probably blew the mind of those soldiers. The other two, normal reaction, fighting and scratching and tying them down and holding them down, but Jesus Christ did that not just for his friends. He did that for his enemies. You're not going to find anybody like that. Now you throw in the idea about him dying for your sins as God. There's nobody like that. And when a person believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are honoring Jesus Christ. Most witnessing methods today are basically using Jesus Christ as a fire escape. And you go to a big building in the cities and you see in the backside usually a fire escape. How many people use the fire escape, even consider the fire escape? They'll use it for the fire. And that's how most people view the gospel today, as a fire escape. If that is a person, what they're trusting in Jesus Christ for a fire escape, I even question your salvation. Salvation is to honor Jesus Christ and recognize what he did and accept what Jesus Christ, you're honoring him by doing that. Then if you would, in John chapter 12, not only just receiving Jesus Christ and honoring him for his great sacrifice, how about doing a little more something for him afterwards? How about trying to pay him back? John chapter 12, verse 25 says, Jesus Christ said, he that loveth me. Was it me? Okay. Somebody don't like the Lord getting honor. And it's not them two back there. Figure anything out? Yeah. Okay, you can go with this. John chapter 12, verse 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it. That's where we were. And he that hateth his life in this world it shall keep it unto life eternal. Can we turn this off? Okay. If a man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, notice, him will my Father honor. That's something to think about. I mean, you think about that for a while. You seek and serve the Savior. You come to Jesus Christ, you honor him by receiving his great sacrifice, by believing what he did, by faith. And then you somehow want to make his great sacrifice on how he gave to you, make a little payback for him. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And then he says, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. If you would, look back up to John chapter 5. The amazing thing is most people are trying to seek somebody else's honor. John chapter 5, verse 41, it says, I receive not honor from men, Jesus Christ. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. Talking to the Pharisees. I am come to my Father, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another come in his own name, him ye will receive. It's the amazing thing. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Now there's the place we ought to try to seek to get honor. Please, your Creator. God honors people who accept the reproofs of life. God honors people who honors His words. And God honors people who seeks and tries to serve His Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's where true honor is given. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray You'd help us to honor You. And help us to practice here on each other by honoring, in honor, preferring one another. But Lord, it's an amazing thing that You will honor those that honor You. And Lord, I thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, grab your hymn book and let's go to page 375, I think is what I want to say. And we'll just sing, I think it's 375. Yes, that's it. 375. 375. I gave my life for Thee.